This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. The Health News Digest on the Bigger Picture. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for staying with us. I'm Tina Camilla with Tisha Ik, and you're listening to Health News Digest. Know who might not be listening to us, Shoik?
Who's that? Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, are you so sure about that?
Apparently, I am not.
So, I read this article on The Guardian that really opened up my eyes and ears to how the hearing impaired enjoy music. I guess I was one of those people who just assumed, well, you're deaf. How could you listen to music? Sad, you know, but I thought that's the reality of it. But apparently, even the deaf and the hearing impaired actually can enjoy music, especially live musical performances, to a certain extent. So in this Guardian article, a survey found that many of them actually want to attend concerts, but they also experience a lot of challenges and discrimination. So, you know, maybe to take a step back and address this idea of the deaf being able to listen to music. Actually, what happens is that they sense vibrations. You know, obviously, those are not sound waves that come into your ears, right? You sense them through touch, almost. And it's the same part of the brain that's processing the vibrations as the normal hearing would use to listen to sounds. So even though hearing is damaged, they can actually recognize music through touch, through feeling the vibrations, and the brain will process, you know, the beat and the rhythm and all that to give them the same enjoyment as the normal hearing do.
I'm just wondering whether we can experience the same thing as hearing people to cancel out our hearing. Just to experience music that way through vibration? Or do you need to have a heightened sense of vibration, I guess? Because you would compensate. Like you often hear people with different abilities. When they lose one ability, they compensate and certain senses just get a lot more heightened.
That's right. Yeah. I think the brain then adapts. So perhaps over time, the brain has to learn to process new kinds of signals. So vibrations instead of sound waves per se. Yeah.
And Vox had done,
It was an interview.
An interview to explain how the deaf experience music. So here's a short clip from that interview.
The deaf community is made up of a diverse group of people who have a wide range of residual hearing. Some might be able to hear lower frequencies like drums or bass, but not higher frequencies like vocals or guitars. And of course, everyone can feel the vibrations of music, especially at live events.
So the new trend now at live events is for venues or organizers to provide some sort of assistance for the hearing impaired. For the most part, this could be limited to closed captioning, you know, like captioning the lyrics of the song, or interpreters who sign the lyrics of the song. But this is actually developing to become more advanced now. I don't know, Tina, if you saw that YouTube video of a deaf interpreter called Amber Galloway Gallego, who was at a Lollapalooza festival in 2013.
Yes.
So she signed for this.
She wasn't just signing.
That's right.
She was sign dancing.
That's right. And that's what made her video so, it went viral. People just loved the idea of it. And I think it really opened up this whole new world for the hearing impaired, that they can experience the emotions of the music and not just hear the words of it. You know, that a song goes so much beyond the lyrics, right?
Yeah, it's I like how into it they can get when they are signing to the beat and to the music and with the attitude.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times we take sign language for granted. Mm-hmm. I have had a few close, I guess, encounters with sign language interpreters. And a lot of it has to do with your emotion, well, expressing your emotions through your face and the rhythm to your, the tempo to your signing as well. It tells you different emotions. You may be signing the same thing. One could be a question. One could be an angry remark, right?
Yeah.
So much that I don't know about sign language.
I think they actually put more effort into the nonverbal signals or the nonverbal types of communication. Whereas we can just use tone and inflection.
That's right.
They can't. They have to.
We have it so easy.
We do, I think. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, you know, somebody like Amber, she's really like charged ahead, and she provides these kinds of specialist interpreter services. And I think for Malaysia, we're probably not there yet, but you already have. In the UK and the US, the UK, for example, festivals like Glastonbury, the Reading, Leeds and Latitude festivals already providing British Sign Language interpreting on request, for example. I don't know whether all of those have talents like Amber. I think that's a whole other ball game altogether. But it's a start, at least, right? Mm-hmm. And in the Guardian article, there was something really interesting. There's a rave event designed specifically for deaf clubbers. So how this works is at the event, they use heightened bass levels and they use new technologies such as SubPack, which is a wearable speaker that can intensify the vibrations that you feel. So all this is to give a whole different experience to, you know, the hearing impaired.
How is it like over here?
Yeah, as you can imagine, even just general music industry, we're nowhere near countries like the US or the UK. But just to get a feel of how the industry is really like, I spoke to a local concert organizer, Iqbal Amir, who's also secretary of Alive, which is an NGO representing the events industry in Malaysia, to tell us where we are at.
In regards to the local music scene in Malaysia, I think that community is really important. Livescape, when we do all our events, we have looked into initiatives, but it's mostly for those that are disabled physically. So when we do music festivals, we provide an area with a ramp or a side stage access area for people on wheelchairs to get into the event and have a great time. We haven't looked into people with other forms of disabilities yet. Or we'd very much like to appeal to them, but first the community needs to be engaged and as lively as places like New York, for instance.
You know, I mean, it's at least encouraging that some events are already looking at and sort of enabling those with physical disabilities, like those on wheelchairs, to attend. Can we realistically see events where we will have interpreters for the hearing impaired? I think it's a long way to go. But to be realistic, I asked another events organizer what are the kinds of things that have to be considered before we can prepare such services. So this is Ben Law from Future Sound Asia.
Challenges that I foresee is really getting good local talents interpreter for this. You know, I think it's not just getting an interpreter, but it's someone with passion about music and how they bring the music to life for the deaf. It's like a performance by itself. So even if we were to engage, we probably have to look into overseas foreign interpreters.
ESL, BSL are a lot more common in mainstream media, at least.
Yes.
And they're very different from each other as well.
Yes.
A lot of people think that sign languages are the
universal,
same.
Universal, yeah. No, they're not.
It really takes more than just knowing the sign language.
Yep.
You need to also have an interest and a passion in the music as well, and to put that together for the deaf community. Oh, we have got a long way to go.
But, you know, there's nothing like the power of music, and if people really want to experience it, they will find a way to do so. against the odds.
That's all we have this hour on Health News Digest. If you missed any part of the show, you can download the podcast from our BFM app. I'm Tina Camellia.
I'm Ti Xiao Yik.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.